Scene 2. Prologue. Marley stands spotlit left. He speaks directly to the audience.
My ghostly friend now leads my living partner through the city's streets.
Lights up on Scrooge and present.
See them there, and hear the music people make when the weather is severe, as it is now.
Winter music. Choral group behind Scrim sings. When the song is done and the stage is reset, the lights will fade up on a row of shops behind the singers. The choral group will hum the song they have just completed now and mill about the streets, carrying their dinners to the bakers' shops and restaurants. They will perhaps sing about being poor at Christmas time. Whatever.
These revelers, Mr. Scrooge, carry their own dinners to their jobs, where they will work to bake the meals the rich men and women of the city will eat as their Christmas dinners. Generous people, these, to care for the others so.
Present walks among the choral group, and a sparkling incense falls from his torch onto their baskets as he pulls the covers off of the baskets. Some of the choral group become angry with each other.
You, watch where you're going.
Watch it yourself, mate.
Present sprinkles them directly. They change.
I pray, go in ahead of me. It's Christmas. You be first.
No, I must insist that you be first.
All right, I shall be, and gratefully so. Oh,
the pleasure is equally mine for being able to watch you pass smiling.
I would find it a shame to quarrel on Christmas Day.
As would I.
Merry Christmas, then, friend.
And a Merry Christmas straight back to you.
Church bells toll. The choral group enter the buildings, the shops, and restaurants. They exit the stage, shutting their doors closed behind them. All sound stops. Scrooge and Present are alone again.
What is it you sprinkle from your torch?
Kindness.
Do you sprinkle your kindness on any particular people? Or on all people?
To any person kindly given, and to the very poor most of all.
Why to the very poor most?
Because the very poor need it most. Touch my heart. Here, Mr. Scrooge, we have another journey.
Scrooge touches the ghost's heart, and music plays. Lights change color. Lightning flashes. Thunder claps. A choral group appears on the street, singing Christmas carols. Scene 3. Marley stands spotlit in front of a scrim on which is painted the exterior of Cratchit's four-roomed house. There is a flash and a clap, and Marley is gone. The lights shift color again, the scrim flies away, and we are in the interior of the Cratchit family home. Scrooge is there with the spirit present watching Mrs. Cratchit set the table, with the help of Belinda Cratchit and Peter Cratchit. A baby pokes a fork into the mashed potatoes on his high chair's tray. He also chews on his shirt collar.
What is this place, spirit?
This is the home of your employee, Mr. Scrooge. Don't you know it?
Do you mean Cratchit, spirit? Do you mean this is Cratchit's home?
None other.
These children are his?
There are more to come presently.
On his meager earnings? What foolishness!
Foolishness, is it?
Wouldn't you say so? 15 shillings a week's what he gets.
I would say that he gets the pleasure of his family 15 times a week times the number of hours a day. Wait, Mr. Scrooge, wait. Listen and watch. You might actually learn something.
What has ever got your precious father, then, and your brother Tiny Tim? And Martha weren't as late last Christmas by half an hour.
Martha opens the door, speaking to her mother as she does.
Here's Martha now, Mother.
She laughs. The Cratchit children squeal with delight.
It's Martha, Mother. Here's Martha.
Martha, Mama. Martha, Mama. Hello.
Hooray! Martha, Martha! There's such an enormous goose for us, Martha.
Why, bless your heart alive, my dear. How late you are.
We'd a great deal of work to finish up last night, and had to clear away this morning, Mother.
Well, never mind so long as you are come. Sit ye down before the fire, my dear, and have a warm. Lord bless ye.
No, no, there's Father coming. Hide, Martha, hide.
Martha giggles and hides herself.
Where? Here?
Hide, hide.
Not there, there.
Martha is hidden. Bob Cratchit enters carrying Tiny Tim atop his shoulder. He wears a threadbare and fringeless comforter hanging down in front of him. Tiny Tim carries small crutches, and his small legs are bound in an iron frame brace.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, my love. Merry Christmas, Peter. Merry Christmas, Belinda. Why, where is Martha?
Not coming.
Not coming? Not coming upon Christmas Day?
Pokes head out.
Oh, poor Father. Don't be disappointed.
What's this?
'Tis I.
Martha.
They embrace.
Martha! Martha!
Tiny Tim!
Tiny Tim is placed in Martha's arms. Belinda and Peter rush him off stage.
Come, brother, you must hear the pudding singing in the copper.
The pudding? What flavor have we?
Plum, plum.
Oh, mother, I love plum.
The children exit the stage giggling.
And how did little Tim behave?
As good as gold, and even better. Somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much, and thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He told me, coming home, that he hoped people saw him in the church, because he was a cripple, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. He has the oddest ideas sometimes, but he seems all the while to be growing stronger and more hearty. One would never know.
Here's Tim's crutch on floor outside door.
The goose has arrived to be eaten.
Oh, Mama, Mama, it's beautiful.
It's a perfect goose, Mother.
To this Christmas goose, Mother and Father, I say, hurrah, hurrah!
Copying Tim.
Hooray! Hooray!
The family sits around the table. Bob and Mrs. Cratchit serve the trimmings quickly. All sit. All bow heads. All pray.
Thank you, dear Lord, for your many gifts, our dear children, our wonderful meal, our love for one another, and the warmth of our small fire.
Looks up at all.
A merry Christmas to us, my dear. God bless us.
Except Tim.
Merry Christmas! God bless us!
In a short silence.
God bless us, everyone.
All freeze. Spotlight on present and Scrooge.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no, kind spirit. Say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race will find him here. What then? If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Scrooge bows his head. We hear Bob's voice speak Scrooge's name.
Mr. Scrooge.
Huh? What's that? Who calls?
His glass raised in a toast.
I'll give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
Me, Bob? You toast me?
Save your breath, Mr. Scrooge. You can't be seen or heard.
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here, that miser Scrooge. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge.
Oh, Spirit, must I?
You know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you do, poor fellow.
This is Christmas Day, and I should like to drink to the health of the man who employs me and allows me to earn my living and our support, and that man is Ebenezer Scrooge.
I'll drink to his health for your sake and the day's, but not for his sake. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, Mr. Scrooge, wherever you may be this day.
Just here, kind madam. Out of sight. Out of sight.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. And Mrs. Cratchit, too. No one else is toasting me. Not now. Not ever. Of that I am sure.
Children?
Merry Christmas to Mr. Scrooge.
I'll pay you sixpence, Tim, for my favorite song.
Oh, Father, I'd so love to sing it, but not for pay. This Christmas goose, this feast, you and Mother, my brother and sisters close with me, that's my pay.
Martha, will you play the notes on the lute for Tiny Tim's song?
May I sing too, Father?
We'll all sing.
They sing a song about a tiny child lost in the snow, probably from Wordsworth's poem. Tim sings the lead vocal. All chime in for the chorus. Their song fades under as the ghost of Christmas present speaks.
Mark my words, Ebenezer Scrooge. I do not present the Cratchits to you because they are a handsome or brilliant family. They are not handsome. They are not brilliant. They are not well-dressed or tasteful to the times. Their shoes are not even waterproofed by virtue of money or cleverness spent. So when the pavement is wet, so are the insides of their shoes and the tops of their toes. These are the Cratchits, Mr. Scrooge. They are not highly special. They are happy, grateful, pleased with one another, contented with the time and how it passes. They don't sing very well, do they? But nonetheless, they do sing. Think of that, Scrooge. 15 shillings a week, and they do sing. Hear their song until its end.
I am listening.
The chorus sings full volume now until the song ends here.
Spirit, it must be time for us to take our leave. I feel in my heart that it is, that I must think on that which I have seen here.
Touch my robe again.
Scrooge touches present's robe. The lights fade out on the Cratchits, who sit frozen at the table. Scrooge and present in a spotlight now. Thunder, lightning, smoke. They are gone.